That was a track, first track off of Brian Eno's Another Day on Earth CD, a song called This, and that's on Ryko Hannibal Opal Records. And so like I said, we got Stephen Jerome in the house, and I'm going to play you a couple more songs while we get organized for our world premiere here session with this new CD here. But why don't you say hello to the people, Jerome, Stephen Jerome.
Hello.
All right, we're going to have fun today, and I'm going to play you a song from a group called Colder. I think they're out of France, and they got a really cool sound. And
love this group.
Yeah, yeah. Really interesting sound here. Actually, Mike Murphy of Mellow Madness turned me on to these guys. This song's called Crazy Love.
Thank you.
to think of a lesson as a weapon in love, and teach your brother, teach your sister. Think of a lesson as a weapon in love. There's nothing you can do to let Antic stay positive and show still.
Yeah, that's the Sneaker Pimps. It was a single off of their Splinter LP. That's the Interference remix of Low Five. And yeah, I'm here with Steve and Jerome. Actually, we used to listen to that LP quite a bit back in the winter of who knows when.
2002.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of cool vibes on that one, Sneaker Pimps. But yeah, we're gonna move to the main feature here with Steve and Jerome. And welcome to WRAR. Welcome to Music Talk.
Thank you.
And
having me over.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. You're living in New York, right?
Indeed. For the last 7 years.
Uh-huh. And you grew up here in Richmond?
New York based. I did. I tried. Finished the job up there, I guess. Yeah, that's right. I've been living and working up there since I guess 1999.
Right.
And hammering away, and I guess what you have now is the product of the last whatever 5-7 years of writing.
Yeah, you, I've known you for I don't know how many years, since we were young.
Ever.
but you were always working on this, I think. You know, from way back, you've been a guitarist, started out from a musical family, and you've been playing for how many years?
That's right. I actually started, my musical career started at the age of 8. My first instrument was cello.
Yeah.
Following in my dad's footsteps, and then I guess I went to my first rock concerts at the age of 10 or so, and of course took the side door in with the classical guitar, and things just kind of moved from there. I mean, I knew I wanted to play guitar at around 10, and I started on classical and went to electric and started playing in bands. And one thing led to another. When I got to New York, I started studying voice formally. I always really wanted to sing, and I was sort of scrawling lyrics on notebooks and napkins and whatnot, and then I just started to take it more seriously, you know, around 1999 or 2000.
I would say that's a pretty serious step to start taking voice lessons, because you know that, you know, not only are you a guitarist now, but you're a vocalist, and you made that choice.
That was it. It was just necessary to get some technique to where you can really, really hit it reliably.
Yeah.
And my first voice teacher was actually an opera coach. So
yeah.
I've managed to ride the fence between the classical and the rock worlds for a long time, and I plan on continuing that.
Yeah. And you studied under John Romeo here.
Jonathan Romeo was my first guitar teacher. I studied with a man named John Patacula after that, who was the head of the classical guitar department, I guess, at VCU. This guy showed me a lot about getting around the guitar. And then I actually, all my formal study moved to the voice when I got to New York.
Right.
And I was lucky enough to team up with some good writers and have some people sort of show me the ropes on some different alleys of the business.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm just imagining your friends back here that you grew up with and stuff. I mean, once they start hearing your music here and how far you've come with it, I mean, I always heard of you as like, oh yeah, Steve and Jerome, man, what a guitar player. But now, when they hear this, I think they're going to be pretty amazed, and I was amazed also. I knew you had it in you, but why don't we start out with, you know, we'll let you explain a little more about these songs in a little bit and tell us how it feels to have a new full 8 or 10 song. You know, you got quite a few songs. It's up to 10, maybe more.
Yeah, I've got 10 down now, and we may do 2 or 3 more before it's actually officially released. So
right.
I feel like it's complete as it is, but I'd be more than happy to.
One more quick thing before I play this track, Let It Stay. This was recorded in New York, so you would say it kind of has a feeling from up there that, you know, living up there has a certain energy. Would you agree?
I would definitely agree, and I think there's a certain, you know, there's what people, it's funny, before I moved up there, people used to say to me that everyone up there is sort of on the make, and I think that's true, and I think there's a lot of that energy in this record. There's a certain pace that things happen there. And when you're really trying to get something done, you turn around and you just find that a week or a month has passed, and you've lost yourself in pursuit of the goal. And you know, yeah, I'll let it speak for itself, and you tell me if it feels like New York.
Here's the first track we'll play here is Let It Stay. It's number 3. Here it goes. Let It Stay, Stephen Jerome. And what's the next song we'll play here? Let's play another one.
Right, this is the fourth track on my forthcoming album, and it's called Use Your Love Against You.
Everything I need, but I don't feel satisfied. What's it mean? Can I still be found inside? Purpose, process, and sweet dreams long denied. What's it mean? I can't see, but I can't hide. And I win games I swore I'd never play. Feeling fantasy on long display. Ambivalence and consequence. A paranoid worldview. Tiger means threats and conquest. And we choose to use your love against you. Low self-esteem and the means to keep you high. The strings are tied, strings that snap and strings that bind. Towards distraction and answers I can't find. Towards collapse, towards the last page I can't write. And I don't know why I
That's Stephen Jerome with Use Your Love Against You from his forthcoming album release. And anything you want to tell people about those last two songs?
Sure, I'd be glad to. You know, that last one, Use Your Love Against You, was actually inspired by a BBC documentary that I saw in New York called Century of the Self. And, you know, the theme just sort of came to me while I was watching the movie. And, you know, music is really just kind of how I process what I'm experiencing, and it's sort of how I interface with the world now. And I was watching the film, and you know, I was really thinking about you know, challenges that are sort of, you know, specific to our age, and the complexities that, you know, individualism has carried with it. And the theme came to me, and I...
That's the last one, right?
The last one, Use Your Love Against You. And so I had a chorus, and I really built the song from there, and it was just a good opportunity to sort of, you know, reflect some of the angst I thought I was seeing in the documentary, and some of what I was observing on the street.
You remember what documentary was called?
Century of the Self.
Okay.
Century of the Self. I think the song before it, Let It Stay, is just a really good expression of the chemistry between Daniel Wise, the producer of this record, and myself. It was it really started as a totally different song, and you know, Dan and I had sort of pared it down to the riff, and it just organically sort of rebuilt itself, and he and I really were 50-50 on that song. So not much else I can say about that. It's lyrically one of the more abstract things on the record, and I don't want to get too literal about it, but I think the song just really sort of, again, expresses you know the artist producer chemistry that he and I sort of experienced making this record, which was great from start to finish.
And this was recorded at the Shed.
The Shed in New York City, that's right.
Yeah. And what's that space like? It's a big open room, or
it's just fantastic.
Room?
It's it has a rock wall, and
what's that?
Combination of well one of the walls is actually rock to
rock wall. Okay.
absorbs
that was a patented thing.
No, it's actually a stone wall, and it's built to sort of get the right balance of resonance and absorption with, you know, when you're recording live drums, and this album was recorded fairly live and fairly loud with friends of mine from
definitely.
New York. That's right. He was really able to get guitar sounds, and the drummer and bass player on this record, Justin Spencer and Alex Berman. And I went in, and we really kind of did the basics, and were able to get a very live sound, and then I was able to spend a little more time on the vocals, just layering stuff and sort of getting it right.
Yeah. And when we were listening to it the other night, you were telling me you basically had pretty much every amp in the studio out, as well as 12 or 15 guitars.
That's right. We used about a dozen guitars on the record, and a number of amps in various configurations. And
a lot of people out there might not know quite what goes into making a recording like this, and how much really, you know, how much you really have to pull out of the toolbox as a, you know, your producer, you know, really work to get this sound that you were approving of for this album.
That's right. You really want to get guitar sounds and sounds in general that, you know, are even better than current. You really want to try to get things that are not like everything else you hear. You want to get unique sounds, and you want to get combinations of sounds that really make sense and work together and work in terms of the song. So I can't say enough about Dan. He's just a fantastic producer with that. He had done the Scissor Sisters record recently, and he had worked with Secret Machines, and you know, he had done a couple of very really modern sounding records, and I just knew when I saw his studio and I met with him that it was going to be a good pair in terms of the aesthetic I was going for on this. So
right on. Why don't we hear another track here? This is number 5, so Medicine.
Sure, great. The song's called Medicine.
There's a place.
Yeah, that's Medicine. Steve and Jerome, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that song?
Sure. I don't know who said this, but one of my favorite quotes is, you know, there's no such thing as writing, only rewriting. So some of these songs, you know, have just gone through a lot of changes. They've gone through title changes and, you know, needless to say, arrangement changes. And I always... Most of my songs really start with a musical idea. They start with one of two things, either a melodic theme or a title. Sometimes it's a song title, and I think this was one that really started with the melody from the verse. And you may have heard that, Carl. You may have heard that a couple of years ago, and I think this song's been in the works for a long time, and it's gotten rewritten maybe 3 times.
That one's a real juggernaut, you know, the riff. I mean, it's just so powerful.
Yeah,
really packs a punch.
It's been described as macho.
Yeah, I would say so.
I hope it's.
I don't know what kind of medicine that is. it seems like it would, you know. I'm not going to make your song title sound trite as I was attempting to, but what's the medicine? I mean,
well, interestingly, again, I think the title for this song and the, you know, the impetus for writing the song was actually, from a book. It was inspired by Mihai Csikszentmihalyi's book Flow. Hmm. And again, a book about the, you know, sort of the sort of challenges of making meaning out of modern life and you know honing an existence that, you know, is really worth pursuing.
Yeah. Flow.
So I think that's where the lyric for the chorus came from, and I just developed the song and I built it up, and then needless to say it's gotten to a really pared down place, like most of the songs on this record are, you know, no more than 3.5-4 minutes tops.
Right.
And I really try to write songs that, you know, pack something valuable into 3.5 minutes. I try to write songs that are catchy enough to, to really be listenable.
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, don't come up short on information, hopefully.
Yeah.
At least that's the goal.
Right. They, you know, a minute seems like an hour in some ways with all the meaning that's packed into these songs. And would you say music is a form of medicine in some ways?
I'd have to say it is, and that goes back to my value system and the way I was raised, which is with a really deep belief in art,
yeah,
and a really deep belief in you know, the power that art can have,
power of expression.
Yeah, I think that's ultimately intrinsic to who I am.
Yeah, well, that's deep. The first song here is, we're going to play that one next, and I was, you know, I asked you up here to the studio at WRAR because I wanted you to let everybody know how it feels to have a record under your belt now, and I'm sure it feels great. Does this first song, is that why you started this CD out with How It Feels? I mean, is there something to a feeling of accomplishment or just a feeling of experience here?
No, yeah, yeah. I think that when you get a... I think when you get a serious piece of art under your belt, I mean, there's a real feeling that you've got hopefully something that's gonna be around for a little while. And I gotta say, I feel like I'm gonna like this record 10 years up the road. I'm very happy with how it came out, and this song was just a natural pick for a first track on the record. Again, it was one of those things that couldn't have been planned, but it just, the delivery on it came out the way you're gonna hear how it came out in a minute. Just feeling really big in the studio, and I think the first time everybody heard it, there was just a lot of excitement in the studio, and everybody involved in the record, you know, really, there was a buzz in there that we really felt like we had knocked a good one out. Yeah. So it just presented itself that way. It feels like an album opener, and I think that's how it's going to be.
Well, let's play that song, How It Feels. This is Stephen Jerome, and you're listening to WRARLP 97.3 FM. Richmond Indie Radio, radio for the rest of us.
I'm looking good and feeling worthless again, running for cover is where it's at and has always been. I'm looking for easy entertainment or an easy way. To watch your race to win, and it's a sin, and it's a fact, hidden within, broken in half. You know I don't know how it feels, how it feels to me.
That was How It Feels, Stephen Jerome, good friend of mine, and also now accomplished musician as far as having accomplished a fully recorded and produced record here. Thanks for coming in, Stephen, and we're going to hear more of your more of your music later. And it's great to have you here on WRAR on If Music Could Talk. And we're going to, you know, play some other music that I'm feeling, and hopefully you'll appreciate also. Stephen Jerome and I have had years and years of practice being music critics in lots of ways, grown up musically together in a lot of ways too, and had a lot of influence on each other's ears. So here I am on the radio, and here he is too. And it's great to have you here. So we're going
to
hear a song now.
Good to be hanging out.
Yeah, man. We're going to hear a song now by Wagon Christ. The song is called Shadows, and it's from his CD, Sorry I Make You Lush.
Shadows.
So thanks for listening, and this is a WRAR, as I mentioned. Here's a track that I remember from way back when I was big into heavy metal, and I'll just play this. Hopefully, Steve and Jerome, you will appreciate this one. This is Warrior Soul Lullaby.
Thank you.
Here's a song by a group out of France, El Niño, La Masse
Tout de Sicile. Tout s'est passé si lentement que la plupart des hommes n'ont même pas réalisé que ça s'était produit.